Good morning and welcome to Dr. Ng's Sunday Soul Connection. As always, we begin our time together with setting the intention and naturally seven and let it be.
Lord, I pray for this day we come together, that our hearts and our minds be for you.
Always, I like to applaud you for taking the next 45 minutes or so out of your busy Sunday. Consciously, join with me and those that are here on the line to commune with the ground of being God in us as us. This morning's reflection is entitled The Grip of Grace, taken from our closing song. Last week, as I heard it playing in the background, the grip of grace literally gripped me. I stopped, put it on replay for a few times, and created the service there and then. Grace is something that is freely given to each and every one of us. It is God's gift to us. Too often, though, we forget, we ignore, or we feel unworthy of it, and allow ourselves to get on with our days without even taking a moment to consciously connect or be open and receptive to the grace of God. It isn't something we can earn. It isn't even something we could say that we deserve. It's just freely given. And I know that is often challenging the way humans are, thinking that there's no such thing as something for nothing. And you can listen to the old theologians who would talk about how grace of God is unmerited and undeserving of us. But that is not how God sees it. God offers us the opportunity to remember the gift of her grace that is unconditional. And grace, or the awareness of grace, is like a practice like anything else. And I've often shared with friends how it is that people want something from God, but they then have, I don't even know how to describe it. How do they think God is going to bless them with whatever it is? Obviously, God is going to use someone. God isn't dropping it out of the sky for them. And often when I've given someone a tip, when they weren't expecting it or whatever the circumstances, two things they always say, "Are you sure?" And I laugh and he said, "Of course I'm sure." And then again, "Are you, is it really okay?" And I laugh because What would they expect me to do? To say, yes, you're right, I've made a mistake, give it back to me. As if. And so we're so, I guess, just can't believe that we have God's gift of grace, God's favor, God's love so unconditionally bestowed upon us, that for most of the time, we go about unaware and unable to acknowledge. The gift of grace is something we can all experience. And as we allow God's grace in our lives, it can expand our intellect by allowing us to tune into our inner wisdom, the divine wisdom that is within us. As we align ourselves with God's grace, it can give us the strength or the courage that we need to meet some of the challenges in our lives. As we align and expand God's grace in our hearts, it makes us able to be more loving, more forgiving, more accepting. The more we can align ourselves with God's grace, the more we can acknowledge and recognize that we're not in control, that we're not in charge. We can allow our spirit to guide and direct us as opposed to being ego-centered and ego-driven. Grace is our inner alley. Grace is that unconditional awareness of God's presence in our lives. Grace, when we align with it, is what motivates us, directs us, and illuminates our path. I came across a quote by Leonard Cohen who says, "When I get up in the morning, my real concern is to discover whether or not I'm in a state of grace. And if I make that investigation discover that I'm not in a state of grace, I try to go to bed. A state of grace is that kind of balance with which you ride the chaos that you find around you. It's not a matter of resolving the chaos, because there's something arrogant and warlike about putting the world in order." Now, you may not agree with everything that he says. There's certainly food for thought. And there's certainly this recognition that upon opening your eyes in the morning, whether it's to look at the phone first, or switch off the alarm, or run to the toilet, is to also align yourself with God's grace for the day. I was reminded when I woke up this one morning in the week, and the ongoing issue with the tooth had flared up. And my first recall was to go outwardly to what else I should be doing, to see if I could get an appointment for my lymph drainage, to contact my naturopath. I did not go first and align myself with God's grace. I didn't beat myself up or condone myself. I recognize just how easy it is for all of us to search outwardly first before inwardly acknowledging God's grace as the source of all that is. As I came back to this truth, this remembrance, to accept God's grace in my life, to heal, to renew, to restore, to replenish, there's always a peace that comes, as Jesus says, a peace that passeth all human understanding. We come back to the remembrance of, as I allow God's grace to do what God's grace only can do, in me, for me, through me, to remind myself that I am one with the source of all that is, and make a more conscious effort each morning as I open my eyes the first thing, to give thanks and align myself with the grip of grace. my poem that I'd like to share with you. No, actually, let me share the sacred text first. There's three I'd like to share with you. The first is from 2 Corinthians 9:8. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. The second is John 1:16-17. For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. And our third, a friend shared this with me this week, it's from the Upanishads. He who realizes the sphere of space hidden in the cavern of his heart grasps all that may be desired and comes into contact with the immensity. Each of those texts is speaking their own way to this unconditional, unceasing grace of God that is ever available to us. That is our sufficiency for our every need, whatever it might be, financial, physical, spiritual, emotional, mental, psychological. The grace of God is ours. The immensity of all that is right here. To use God's grace, we need to first recognize that it is freely available, that it is unconditional, and that it is everywhere present. There isn't anywhere you need to go to find it. It is right where you are. The second thing you need to do is to accept. It's not dependent upon how good we've been, how much we've prayed or meditated or contemplated. It is not dependent on anything. It is totally unconditional. Not about whether we're worthy or deserving. God's gift of grace is freely available for all of us when we can accept it. And the third thing is when we recognize we're in the gift of God's grace, or in the grip of God's grace, is to allow it to grow us, to expand us, to make us more aware of the goodness of God that is always available. It is a spiritual practice like any other spiritual practice we practice. It is a spiritual practice that as we truly work and express it, we know to turn to God first. We are reminded to surrender. We are coming back to the remembrance that God's good, God's gift is freely given to each and every one of us. So my story, I had to double check because I thought I'd shared it before, is about Newton, who wrote the well-known hymn, Amazing Grace. And Newton was nurtured by a Christian mother who taught him the Bible at an early age. But he was raised in his father's image after she died of tuberculosis when he was 7. At the age of 11, Newton went on his first of 6 sea voyages with the merchant navy captain. Newton lost his first job in a merchant's office because of unsettled behavior and impatience of restraint, a pattern that would persist for years. He spent much of his teen years at sea before he was press-ganged aboard the HMS Harwich in 1744. Newton rebelled against the discipline of the Royal Navy and deserted. He was caught, put in irons, and flogged. He eventually convinced his superiors to discharge him to a slaver ship. Espousing free-thinking principles, he remained arrogant and insubordinate, and he lived with moral abandon. He says, "I sinned with a high hand," he later wrote, "and I made it my study to tempt and seduce others." He took up employment with a slave trader named Clow, who owned a plantation of lemon trees on an island off of West Africa. But he was treated cruelly by Clow and the slaver's African wife, Princess Pei, an African royal who treated him vilely as she did her other enslaved people. Soon Newton's clothes turned to rags, and Newton was forced to beg for food to allay his hunger. The sluggish sailor was transferred to the service of the captain of the Greyhound, a Liverpool ship, in 1747, and on its homeward journey the ship was overtaken by an enormous storm. Off the coast of Ireland, and almost sank. Newton prayed to God, and the cargo miraculously shifted to fill a hole in the ship's hull, and the vessel drifted to safety. Newton took this as a sign from the Almighty and marked it as his conversion to Christianity. He did not radically change his ways at once. His total reformation was more gradual. He says, "I cannot consider myself to have been a believer in the full sense of the word until a considerable time afterwards," he wrote. He did begin reading the Bible at this point and began to view his captives with a more sympathetic view. Newton continued to sell his fellow human beings, making three voyages as the captain of two different vessels. He suffered a stroke in 1754 and retired, but continued to invest in business. In 1764, he was ordained as an Anglican priest and wrote 280 hymns to accompany his services. He wrote the words for Amazing Grace in 1772. It was not until 1788, 34 years after leaving it, that he renounced his former slaving profession by publicizing a blazing pamphlet called Thoughts Upon the Slave Trade. The tract described the horrific conditions on the ships, and Newton apologized Newton apologized for making a public statement so many years after participating in the trade. It was always a subject of humiliating reflection to me that I was once an active instrument in the business at which my heart now shudders. I think that is a very clear example how God's grace is so freely given, whether it's deserved or not. And even though Newton, who wrote Amazing Grace, continued in this repugnant trade of selling other human beings as chattel, he wasn't repentant, and even though he was saved in a storm, he still continued. But that didn't stop or block God's grace in his life or in our lives. My poems are two short ones that I want to share this morning. The first is from Sri Chinmoy, who says, "My heart, a place of mystic grace. My soulful smile knows no decay. Each day I join the inner race. Each day my Lord's beauty I portray." The second poem is from Sri Aurobindo. "The power that acts in us is not our force. The genius to receive from some higher fount, concealed in a supernal secrecy, the word that gives him an immortal name, the word, the form, the charm, the glory and grace, our mission sparks from a stupendous fire." Our grace is given to us freely by God. We don't earn it, and some might say we don't deserve it, and yet we all need it, and we all have access to it. I love the quote that I shared with you yesterday by Jerry Bridges, who says, "Your worst days are never so bad that you are beyond the reach of God's grace, and your best days are never so good that you are beyond the need of God's grace." Wherever we find ourselves, we are always in need of God's grace. My Science of Mind reading is entitled Grace-Filled Living. The first quote comes from Joel Goldsmith, who says, "Our mind is unlimited as long as we realize God as its nature, character, quality, and quantity. The second quote from Ernest Holmes from The Science of Mind says, "We are so constituted that we can continuously increase our embodiment." The author writes, "Many think of the grace of God as some kind of divine conferral given to an undeserving creation, as some sort of special blessing we could not possibly earn. I, on the other hand, think this is an unnatural view of the presence that continually gives all of itself all the time. I think of grace as a regular gift of the Spirit, something that cannot be withheld." Dr. Ernest Holmes says that God is the universal giver, and we the universal receivers. The whole concept of oneness would suggest we are continuously moving within the folds of the infinite, our whole persona supported entirely by it. The thought of being deserving or undeserving does not enter the picture at all. Actually, when we begin to discover our divine connection and know that we are backed by God, we become blessings every time we turn around. Knowing of our connection with the divine love, we become dispensers of it. We truly become a knowing place where God stands forth in the world as ourselves. Think of how effective we can become as purveyors of the Spirit when we begin to know who we are. When we really begin to get a handle of our own self-mastery, we can continuously bring the goodness of God everywhere we go. This wonderful spiritual extension is something we can choose to grow into a bit more every day. We can literally live grace-filled lives. My beloved, I invite you to allow yourself to be in the grip of God's grace as a daily, regular, spiritual practice undercurrent. To consciously choose to recognize how God's grace is blessing you in your lives. To be open and aware to how God's grace is manifesting. Too often we overlook the simple things or the little things, unaware that it is God's grace. If you haven't already, I invite you to close your eyes and bring your attention to your breath, the gentle inhalation and exhalation, the ebbing and the flow, the contraction and the expansion. Always, I'd like to remind you at this time the words of Job. He said, "It is the Spirit of God that has made me. It is the breath of the Almighty that gives me life." We can go for days or weeks without food or water, but we can only go for moments without the breath. It is the chi, it is the prana, the life force to which we all need. As you breathe in, say to yourself, "This is my breath as I breathe in." As you breathe out, "This is my breath as I breathe out." Inhale, "This is my breath as I breathe in." Exhale, "This is my breath as I breathe out." In, out. In. As you breathe in, say to yourself, "This is my breath as I breathe in deeper." And as you breathe out, "This is my breath as I breathe out slow." Inhale. This is my breath as I breathe in deeper. Exhale. This is my breath as I breathe out strong. And as you breathe in, say to yourself, this is my breath as I breathe into you. And as you breathe out, this is my breath as I breathe out. Inhale. This is my breath as I breathe in here. Exhale. This is my breath as I breathe out. Healing, forgiveness, healing, forgiveness, healing, forgiveness. As you breathe in, say to yourself, this is my breath as I breathe in spirit. And as you breathe out, this is my breath as I breathe out God's grace. Inhale, this is my breath as I breathe in spirit. This is my breath as I breathe out God's grace. Spirit. God's grace. Spirit. I'd like to take a moment to reflect upon your word that you selected at the beginning of the year. And take a moment to reflect to see how God's grace has been expressed in relation to your word. take a moment to see in your mind's eye that which you wish to be, do, have, or experience in this coming week. We know that as we visualize or vision what we are wanting, we add the feeling component to it as well. Take a deep breath in as we enter into our circle of prayer. As always, you're invited to include anything or anyone that's in need of prayer at this time. You know the Spirit of God is everywhere present, at every point in space and time. Divine Beloved, grounded being, source of all that is, as we consciously come into your presence this morning, opening ourselves up to the awareness of your grace that is ever available, that is unconditional, that is unceasing, that is so generously given to us. There's nothing that we need to do to be worthy of it. There's nothing that we might do that makes us undeserving of it. Your grace is our sufficiency in all things, for all things, for our every need. Mother, Father, God, let us remember your grace as we open our eyes. Let us be open to your grace as we navigate our way throughout each day. Let us recognize your grace in all that we're doing and encountering. Let us accept your grace that is so freely given and bestowed, and let us grow by your grace, so that we truly are worthy expressions of your life in us, as us, through us. Mother, Father, God, there is so much need at this time for our world. Healing on so many levels are needed. But I know that you are able to do exceedingly abundantly more than we can ask or think. For our teacher said it is your good pleasure to give us the kingdom that is all good, all wholeness, all perfection, all peace, all joy, all harmony. Let us take our eyes away from the appearances and place them firmly on you. Mother, Father, God, ask a special touch for the governments of this world, that they truly will be open to the remembrance that this world is yours, that they are in government for a short time, but they are there to serve the people. They are there to look after this world and all its sentient beings. Let each and every one of us do our part to heal our fractured world. Let us do our part to minimize the bad effects that we are having as we utilize whatever resources we need or want. There's so much healing for our world at this time. Let us do our part to be responsible stewards. All the crises that are happening, be it natural disasters or man-made, whatever the needs of the people, we put it into the circle of prayer now, knowing that you will meet their needs as you continuously meet our every need. For your infinite grace, your endless blessings, your eternal mercy, your everlasting grace, we are ever, ever grateful. So it is. take a deep breath in as we enter, or as we open ourselves up to doing our movement prayer. Stretch your hands towards the sky, wiggle your fingers and affirm, I open myself to the oneness of all of life. Cross your hands, palms down over your heart and affirm, I radiate love to all who I meet. Bring your hands as if in prayer in front of your lips and affirm, I speak only words that affirm the quality of life I want. Drop your hands to your sides, palms open, and affirm, I'm continuously grateful for all my blessings seen and unseen. Bend your elbows and make small circles with your wrists and affirm, I let go of any real or perceived shortcomings I may have. Take a deep breath in as I mute the phones for our Buddhist reflections and affirmations. Repeat after me. If anyone has hurt or harmed me,
if anyone has hurt or harmed me,
knowingly or unknowingly in thought, word or deed,
knowingly or unknowingly in thought, word or deed,
I freely forgive them and I ask forgiveness.
I freely forgive them and I ask forgiveness.
If I have hurt or harmed anyone,
If I have hurt or harmed anyone,
knowingly or unknowingly in thought, word or deed,
knowingly or unknowingly in thought, word or deed,
I forgive the past and close the door.
I forgive the past and close the door.
I forgive all and resentment is dissolved.
I forgive all and resentment is dissolved.
I forgive myself and I'm at peace.
I forgive myself and I am at peace.
I accept myself and I am free.
I accept myself and I am free.
May I feel protected and safe.
May I feel protected and safe.
Contented and at peace. May my physical body provide me with strength.
May my physical body provide me with strength.
May my life unfold smoothly and with ease.
May my life unfold smoothly and with ease.
May I be happy.
May I be peaceful.
May I be peaceful.
May I be free.
May my friends be happy. May they be peaceful.
May they be free.
May those that challenge me be happy.
May those that challenge me be happy.
May they be peaceful.
May they be free.
May all beings be happy.
May all beings be happy.
May they be peaceful.
May they be peaceful.
May they be free. Our prayer of intention. I am the light of God within and without.
I am the light of God within and without.
Radiating brightly. I am the love of God within and without.
I am the love of God within and without.
Expressing unconditionally. I am the power of God within and without.
I am the power of God within and without.
Manifesting exuberantly. I am the presence of God within and without.
Eternal and unceasingly.
Our signs of mind affirmation. I know I bring divine blessings to everyone.
I touch every single day.
It is my joy to do so. It is my joy, my joy, our rumination, our Rumi thought for the week. Rumi says, "You are so weak. Give up to grace. The ocean takes care of each wave till it gets to shore. You need more help than you know." So it's October, Black History Month, and we continue. Today I want to share about Betty Campbell, MBE, 1934 to 2017, who was a community activist and a head teacher. She was a Welsh community activist and a race education champion who put Black history in the Cardiff curriculum. She was committed to the history and heritage of Bute Town, also known as Tiger Bay, where she was born, and a celebration of Welsh cultural diversity. Bute Town was one of the UK's first multicultural communities. By the outbreak of the First World War, people from over 50 countries had settled in the area, which was built up around the docks to the south of Cardiff, where many of them found work. Her mother was Welsh Barbadian, and her father, who came to the UK from Jamaica as a teenager and was killed in the Second World War when his ship, the Ocean Vanguard, was torpedoed by a German U-boat off the coast of Trinidad in 1942. Campbell had an ambition to become a teacher and confided to her headmistress that this was the career path she wished to follow. She was immediately discouraged from doing so. Her headmistress told her the problems would be insurmountable. That her headmistress believed her ambition of being a Black teacher was impossible devastated Campbell, but also strengthened her resolve. Becoming a mother and wife deferred her, but did not end her dreams. In 1960, she enrolled at Cardiff Teacher Training College, one of six female trainees, and juggled raising her four children with her studies. Campbell's first teaching post was in Lanwami, and when parents unused to a Black teacher and assuming her ethnicity meant she could not be competent were hostile towards her. She proved her detractors wrong, however, becoming a head teacher in the 1970s, the first Black woman in Wales to hold this position. Campbell understood only too well the importance of Black self-actualization and the effects of racial discrimination on Black pupils' learning. To that end, Campbell made it her mission to develop a curriculum that included the histories of Black people, reflecting the diverse histories of the students of Mount Stuart. She introduced the history of the Caribbean, enslavement and its legacies to her pupils, and talked about the ways Black people contributed to British society. She ensured that her subjects such as apartheid in South Africa were included in the curriculum. When it was suggested to her that it might be a difficult topic for children, she responded with, "Go ask the Black kids in South Africa if it's too difficult." The school became a template for multicultural education, and as an expert on race and education, Campbell was invited to be a member of the Home Office Race Advisory Committee and the Commission for Racial Equality. Campbell also served counselor as a counselor for Bute Town and advocated fiercely for its residents. She became known outside of her community as a leading academic and education specialist and held workshops on the history of Bute Town's diverse community. Campbell's commitment to care for her students' education inspired many of them to rise and to achieve great things, proving many people wrong as she had. I identified with that quite a bit. I remember when I was taking my English O-levels, my English teacher told me that she didn't think I could make it. I would pass them. I passed them. And when I completed my doctorate, I asked them, I want to say I stuck a finger up or two to her, thinking, look, I even did a doctorate. Anyway, all of us have to overcome people's beliefs about what they think we can or cannot achieve. But again, as we align ourselves with the grip of grace from God, we can achieve and be and do anything. So my closing benediction, may God unearth the unsettled and unhealed places in your life, so he can heal, renew, and restore you. May she reveal a fresh revelation of her love and a new assurance of her grace. May he pour the oil of joy and gladness over your head. May she give you pools of blessings to splash your feet in. May his unfathomable greatness bring a fresh mystery and power to your prayers and perspective. And today, throughout the day, may you look up and above your circumstances and remember that you're somebody God loves, treasures, equips, and calls. She will make a way where there's been no way. Trust in her and choose joy today. That was by Susie Larson. So, my beloved, as we come to the close of our Sunday Soul for this week, as I promised, our closing song is by Vu Worship, entitled Grip of Grace. Enjoy.
Now see,
who trust you, Lord, better as much as I do. Group of grace, we worship. The Lord, I wish you a very, very happy and blessed Sunday. Until we meet again on Thursdays for our midweek prayer, our 10 at 10, peace and blessings.